And this time on Culture File, Paddy Woodworth runs his thumbs across the spines all the way along the shelf to Windfall, an anthology of Irish nature poetry gathered by the poet Jane Clark and, as Paddy points out now, in the latest edition of the Naturalist Bookshelf, notably charged with the work of illustrator Jane Carkill.
There is an easily pleasing way to compile an anthology of Irish nature poetry. After all, many of our best-known and most obviously distinguished poets have left us a rich legacy of fine nature poems. Think of Seamus Heaney, perhaps especially of Michael Longley, of Patrick Kavanagh and W.B. Yeats. You could reap a rich crop from stellar writers like these. Throw in a few personal favourites by lesser-known poets, and you would have a very marketable book. But the editor of the book we are taking off our shelf this evening, Jane Clark, who is herself recently established as a most accomplished nature poet, is never one to take the easy road. In Windfall, Irish Nature Poems to Inspire and Connect, she has, of course, included work by all the above familiar names. But she has limited all contributions to a single work per poet, and she has created her anthology from deep and broad and thoughtful research, putting alongside them poems by many writers who are lesser known, and several who have been so unfairly forgotten that they will be completely new to many readers. At least, they were certainly new to me. And it comes as no surprise, unfortunately, given the misogynist blind spot in so much Irish publishing, that many of these overlooked writers are women. There is another way in which Clark's stimulating representation of the canon of our nature poetry departs from the well-trodden paths. The poems she chooses do not necessarily have nature as their explicit theme, but the natural world is always woven strongly, if subtly, into their broader fabric. And isn't this just the way many of us experience nature in our actual lives? Not always central, but never completely absent, and often informing our feelings in ways we only half recognize. This is true, for example, of the heartbreakingly beautiful elegy, Dead, by Winifred M. Letts, where a bird's song and a wren's nest are just some of the foolish idle things that recall a lost beloved to the grieving poet. But they are deeply significant ones, and they make her grief more universal, less purely personal, than the other things that remind her of him. There are far too many luminous and telling poems in this collection to even mention here, so I will pick out just a few that particularly caught my imagination. There are some interesting aspects. How, for example, the word dark quietly links three adjacent poems. Here is Sean Hewitt on picking wild garlic at night in its woodland habitat. I turn home, and all across the floor, the spiked white flowers light the way. The world is dark, but the wood is full of stars. And here is Frieda Lawton's Now Linnet, so musically echoing the spring season. Skies grow tender as they hear the lark strip one by one the scales of dark. And finally, Mark Roper's haunting vision of the barn owl by day, when he sees it as a feathered flask where mouse and vole are silently rendered. No good the sun knocking at our door. Only dark knows how to open her wings. I also particularly savoured Martin Dyer's evocation of hill walking, a Merlin in the Sheffries. Jane Clark's own scientifically precise but stirring hymn to nature restoration, Recipe for a Bog, Francis Harvey's brilliant portrayal of a heron, and Eamon Grennan's characteristically challenging Trees Abiding. Foremost for me, at first reading and still today, is John Hewitt's The Watchers. This poem uncannily captures the experience of hours spent waiting to observe a badger while unobserved, and the elusive broader epiphany the one-way encounter finally gives him. It was as if another nature came close to my knowledge, but could not be known. Yet if I tried to call it by its name, would start, alarmed, and instantly be gone. This diverse collection, where every page calls forth reflection and meditation, is linked by themes like birds, woods and trees, and the garden. But it is more intimately linked by the luminous illustrations of Jane Carkle, which stream across page after page, often spilling across a center spread. These images are as lovingly true to the plants and animals they evoke as they are to the imaginative vision of the poets whose words they are inspired by. This collection is a quiet triumph of collaboration between two truly remarkable talents. Clark's insightful and daring selections and juxtapositions, and Carkle's exquisitely delicate but vivid painting. Together, they further enhance the beauty and wisdom of the works that comprise it through their evident empathy with each poem and poet from start to finish.
Paddy Woodworth there, putting up on the shelf Windfall, edited by Jane Clark and illustrated by Jane Carkle. And Jane Carkle is one of the panel for the Culture File debate on nature illustration called Seeing Natures, which, along with another Culture File debate session, Winged Muses, on authors and their favourite birds, takes place at the National Botanic Gardens in Glasnevin on November 9th as part of Dublin Book Festival. Tickets for both are free from dublinbookfestival.ie.